Okay, welcome back. Stephanie Smythe in for Kelly Cotrera. Welcome back to our listeners in Toronto, in Hamilton, and in London, Ontario. Great for you to be along with me today. All right, we saw, if you were, had your TV on over the weekend, whether you're watching TSN or Sportsnet or CBC, you saw the sellout crowd for the new Women's Hockey League, the Professional Women's Hockey League. The home opener was absolutely huge. Oh, by the way, I have to give some bad news. Canada's men's junior team has been eliminated from the World Juniors. Sorry, I just say that. Get that out of the way. For all you World Juniors fans, I know that's the only hockey on right now. So, but hey, then we have the PWHL to watch, right? So the sellout crowd for the home opener at the Mattamy Center. Question being now, can the league sustain itself? There is so much excitement around this. Absolutely, right? So people were there. They're beside themselves to see this actually happen. Fans outside the Mattamy Athletic Center holding up signs before the inaugural game between New York and Toronto. Billie Jean King was there. You know, she walked out to center ice before the sellout crowd, dropped the puck for this new era for women's hockey. And there seems to be just a ton of excitement surrounding this. This league that has come together, an amalgamation of all kinds of attempts to get women's hockey on the board here in Canada. To talk more about this and the sustainability of this kind of league, I'm going to bring in an expert, an economist who teaches the economics of pro sports at Concordia University. And we would like to welcome Moshe Lander. Moshe, thanks so much for being here with me this morning.
Hello.
I should say this afternoon. I've got my clock off, but you know, I'd still say that it's New Year. I'm just adjusting. So listen, what is your, first of all, when you talk about the economics of pro sports, what do you study at Concordia? What do you teach when it comes to sports and economics? Generally, obviously, but the gist of it.
Everything in professional sports is related to economics. It's a business. And so in the same way that Walmart or Apple go about trying to maximize their profits, sports leagues try and do the same thing. So whether it's trying to figure out how many teams to have, where they're located, how to pay your players, how to incentivize them to try hard, promotion and relegation versus closed leagues, those types of things can all be covered within the economics of professional sports.
Right. And I'd imagine with the PWHL, you might have a new curriculum here to talk about, a new example. And I wanted to get your impressions of what you've seen with so far, with the opener, the launch, the excitement. What's your initial first blush thoughts on this?
Well, we've been watching this develop for a few months now. If you remember, they revealed jerseys before they had team names, and they had maybe speculated what the team names were going to be through a media leak. They seem to be getting in the way of themselves, which is a little unfortunate because this should be a big launch. This should be something that's exciting and hopefully sustainable. But, you know, some of the mistakes that they made early on make me a little nervous that is this going to be another one of those professional leagues that's here today and struggling tomorrow?
Okay, so what are some of the things you're talking about?
Well, like I said, you know, they revealed jerseys, but really didn't get fan involvement in it. What were the color schemes going to be? What were the names of the teams going to be? Fans weren't consulted about that. And that's the type of thing that if you want to try and engage your fans, get them to do basic things like what should we call the team? What should the color scheme look like? And those types of things are helpful. Getting the players out into the community and building that brand, building that excitement, introducing them to the public, getting some sort of biographical details out there so you feel connected to them. In the early going, that's important. And a lot of that was done in the wrong order, wasn't done at all. And so that's a lack of management. It's not the players' problem, but it's the people that are running the league that you really have to question. Do you have a strong business plan in place here that's going to allow you to sustain what are going to be some really tough early years?
Right. And is this marketing 101, would you say?
It is. The funny thing is that when we look at the NHL and we say, wow, what a successful league, or when we look at the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, even professional soccer, and we say, how successful are they? Let's not forget that in the early years of these leagues, they struggled. Mm-hmm. There was contraction. There were teams disappearing. There were bankruptcies. We only see the result of 75 to 100 years of hard work. We forget that in some cases, they weren't even the first league. They were the fourth, fifth, tenth reincarnation of leagues. So when we see the Women's League starting, the fact that it would be successful is the exception. It's not the rule.
Hmm. Well, I see in the Globe and Mail, there's one of the advisory board members who said that we know we're going to make mistakes this year. By next year, you know, which will be their first 32-game season, we'll have the problems and the bugs ironed out. Could that be too late?
Yeah, I was going to say if there's a second year, there's a difference, too, between, say, the NHL of 1918 and the PWHL of 2024. And that is people have a lot more competing for their attention than they would have 100 years ago. And so where you would have gotten your news through the newspaper and found out what was going on with the local team, now you're getting fed information in real time. You just at the outset gave in real time information about Team Canada, the World Juniors. So if this is not something that resonates with people off the top and their eyes are drawn elsewhere, it's possible that it's going to be really difficult to get those eyes back. So you need to hit them right off the top, get them excited, and try and find a way to maintain it. Saying that, we'll figure this out by next year, that might be the type of thing where people say, I lost interest after the first 6 weeks. Thanks a lot.
Right. And Toronto lost yesterday, by the way. Sorry not to add to it. But okay, so this league features 157 players, six teams from 12 different countries, 90 of the women from Canada. Each club is going to play a 24-game regular season this year and 32, hopefully, next year. But to your point, no team names. Now, do you think maybe that was a strategic decision, or is this sort of like all part of that drinking from a fire hose when they describe the frenetic rush to get this up and running? Is it too late to have let's name the teams kind of engagement with the public going forward? Do you think that would be something that could keep it going? Could recover from it?
Yeah, they do have to have a team name eventually, right?
Right. So, but help I get the public to help name them.
Yeah, and to get the public to help, fine, that's fantastic. But if the public's lost interest, then it becomes almost an exercise in silliness, right? We see sometimes minor league baseball teams will try and engage the fans that way and say, what would you like? And you end up with some pretty ridiculous names because it becomes a write-in exercise that let's see how silly we can make this. If you feel that the league is not going to survive, the team's not going to survive, or that the league is a joke, then that's the type of thing that doesn't really engender fan support. So I think, again, they did it in the wrong order. And the race to get the league up and running, I'd rather you took your time and got it right than race through and try and resolve your mistakes on the fly. That diminishes what the women are trying to do, and it diminishes the view of the league in the eyes of many.
Right. Okay, so listen, you are giving a masterclass now to the PWHL, and you have, you know, you're there to advise them on how to move forward. So what would you advise in our last minute or so in terms of how to kind of recover from this hit into the boards in the launch?
You need to make sure that the owners are in it for an extended period of time. They're not going to see profits probably for the first decade at least. And so you need to know that these six ownership groups are prepared to absorb losses, that they're prepared to make mistakes, but what they need is to find a way to engage fans. You have to be everywhere and anywhere that your fans might be. And it's the type of thing where you say, hey, they don't have to do that in the NHL. That's right. They have 100 years of history behind them where they've been able to build up connections with their local fan base. But for now, you need to grind and make sure you're everywhere. And that's also through the media, too. You need to make sure that just as the same way that you're announcing that the Canadians lost to the World Juniors, you need to announce that Toronto lost yesterday. And that has to be part of every broadcast out there. And so that way people are always looking for what happened with the team. The other thing, of course, too, is that you have to be prepared that there's six teams. Five of them are going to be losers this year on the ice. And everybody loves a winner. So what does it mean that we lose? How are we going to come back next year? What's our plan to be successful, not just financially, but on the ice as well?
Okay, Moshe Lander, thank you so much for your time and your perspective. It's interesting to hear, and hopefully they're listening to you today. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
And Moshe Lander is an economist teaching the economics of pro sports at Concordia University.